his own fascist extreme right voters to tell them, I am the man who can really do whatever he wants just to protect so-called Israeli security.
And total victory, I think, is the phrase they have used against the resistance group in the Gaza Strip. Well, let's talk ceasefires now. Qatar says it remains cautiously optimistic about the possibility of reaching a ceasefire agreement between resistance group Hamas and Israel, and that it's too early still to announce any successes. Foreign Ministry spokesman Majid Al-Ansari says Israeli Mossad intelligence chief David Barnea has left Doha and that technical negotiations are ongoing between Israel and Hamas, with Qatar once more playing mediator between the parties. Well, here is Majid Al-Ansari addressing journalists at a news conference in Doha.
I don't think we are at a moment now where we can say that we are close to a deal. We are, as I said, we are cautiously optimistic because the talks have resumed, and that is a good thing, and we hope that that continues, and we hope to build upon that in the coming days. But it's still too early to announce any successes. First of all, to put you all at ease, he has left Doha, according to the information I have, and the technical teams are still meeting here in Doha. We do believe, of course, and we have said this countless times, that any attack on Rafah would hamper any efforts to get a deal. It would be a humanitarian catastrophe within what is happening right now in Gaza. We are talking about around 1.5 million Palestinians crammed into 10% of Gaza. We already have surpassed the number of 31,000 dead as a result of this war, and an attack of such magnitude will result in major death and destruction that cannot be justified by any tactical justifications that are being presented.
All right, the Qatari Foreign Ministry spokesman there. Dr. Panjwani, you mentioned earlier, of course, the lack of any action in terms of implementation as per South Africa's request of the ICJ calling for a ceasefire. What do you think are the most important stumbling blocks to reaching a deal now?
Well, I think the stumbling blocks are fundamentally political. So the issue is that within the Western Hemisphere, as you said, with the US and the UK, there isn't political support to put pressure on Israel, so the stopping of arms. Mm-hmm. With the implementation of the ICJ ruling, the theory behind international law, it sounds very nice. Okay, there you have the Genocide Convention, you have international human rights. International legally is known as a kind of tertiary or kind of supranational law. Mm-hmm. What that means is that it doesn't operate like a red traffic light. If you pass it, then you get a fine. Mm-hmm. Who are the international police? Who are the international safeguards that will, you know, slap you on the wrist and say, don't do this? We don't have that within international law. Oh. And the UN body is fundamentally political. So the stumbling blocks are that at the moment, the key players like US and UK are using political means to make sure that Israel is not held liable, despite what the legal text says.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hanfar, you hear that there is, you talked about what, you know, to be able to think the way Netanyahu does, to know whether or not there will be a ceasefire, you'd have to see what Netanyahu has in mind, and you explained what he has in mind. But what is the significance of dissent within the Israeli war cabinet and public opinion, however minor that might be? We saw, for example, Gantz touring America, the U.S., Europe in recent weeks, apparently not coordinating with Netanyahu and all the rest of it. But what is the significance of that dissent in apartheid Israel as far as this genocidal war continuing? In other words, to what extent do you think that would make any difference to what apartheid Israel is willing to concede in these ongoing negotiations?
Sadly and unfortunately, the vast majority of the voters in Israel backing Netanyahu's policies of continuing the genocide or genocidal actions against the Palestinians. And this is one of the recent surveys in many, as a matter of fact, in many of the Israeli academic and journalistic investigations, the surveys saying that the vast majority of the Israelis backing up every single bloodshed happening really in Gaza and in the West Bank, simply because they see it a good opportunity and they have to seize it and to carry on what they have started. They started to, you know, ethnically cleanse the Palestinians from the northern parts of Gaza. And now they are fighting in the middle of Gaza, in Khan Yunis and Gaza City. So Rafah wouldn't be really a red line to them, especially now that we can sense some new kind of language in the U.S. mainly, kind of accepting what is going to happen in Rafah, but they are trying, according to them, just to, you know, to decrease the harm against the civilians. So instead of killing, for example, 5,000, they might be looking to negotiate about 2,000. Instead of killing 10,000, they might be looking at, you know, 7,000 or something like this. So in general, Netanyahu is really looking at what his voters are saying, in addition to one of the most crucial issues, which is, you know, something really is recognized by the international community now and by the Israeli analysts, which they are repeating this all the time. The longer war in Gaza against the Palestinians, and probably even to expand it to towards the southern Lebanon, it would be really a very good political move to Netanyahu, because he would keep his political skin.
Yeah, that of course is the argument as far as Netanyahu, that the longer he prolongs the war, the longer he can stay in power, because he has charges against him, corruption charges and all the rest, and so it is in his benefit, to his benefit, to continue with this. But is it sustainable? I mean, surely there should be some acknowledgement that they haven't been able to, despite the fact that they've laid waste to the Gaza Strip and killed so many people, they haven't achieved any of their goals, the most important of which, as they claimed, was to take out the resistance. Yes. And we saw a video earlier on released by Hamas targeting Israeli tanks and taking out their troops in the Gaza Strip.
Yes, I think a lot of this rhetoric may be a facade. So when they say they want to take out Hamas is a resistance ideology. You can never take out that ideology, can always resurface. And indeed, for Netanyahu's sake, it is good for him, because at the end of the day, he's using that as a common enemy that the Israeli people have that will enable him, therefore, to wipe out Gaza. Mm-hmm. So the issue, in my small view, is not that he wants to take out Hamas. Hamas is simply a means to annex land, which is what happened to Native Americans, it was what happened to Aborigines, the same colonial mentality. Annex land, extend Israel, and then build on that land and wipe out heritage.
So that's what we heard, sorry to interrupt, the Trump son-in-law, Jared Kushner, saying it makes a great waterfront property.
I know. So the same clip.
And we know that he and Netanyahu are buddies.
Yes. So what I'm saying is that this is all about land and making sure one race is superior and can live in that land. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't think he's really worried about the political fallout, because if he accomplishes this aim of annexation of land, well, will people forget about the charges? Perhaps. Will the charges be minimized? Yes. Can he use political leverage? Yes. Mm-hmm. Look at what happened to Tony Blair, George Bush. Same thing.
All about him, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. Let's keep the ball rolling. The death toll in Gaza, of course, is continuing to mount in the absence of a ceasefire deal. Asghar Khan, an independent filmmaker in London, tells us neither Israel nor the Western leaders have any real interest in reaching a ceasefire deal.
I believe the ceasefire has stalled because Israel don't really want a ceasefire. They want their side of the deal to be met for the ceasefire to happen, which is hostages being released, which Hamas has agreed to. But Hamas also wants its hostages, stroke prisoners, released, who are being detained in prisons without charge. But Israel don't really want to do that. Hamas also want their civilians to return to parts of Gaza and want humanitarian aid through. but Israel don't want to meet that, and that's why the negotiations have stalled. The other reason why the ceasefires have stalled is because the international community, mainly America, Biden, the UK, Rishi Sunak, and all Western leaders and even Arab leaders, or leaders from all over the world, are not condemning Israel. They are not sanctioning Israel. I mean, they are so powerful, and everyone knows America controls Israel. They created Israel, yeah? And they could go there with their armies and stop Israel from committing genocide, war crimes, apartheid. But they don't want to do that because they have ulterior motives, which is oil, gas. I mean, look, Rishi Sunak and many world leaders have invested in the very companies that many believe now are going to steal the gas from Gaza. So basically, the world leaders are not held accountable for what is being done, yeah? And they need to do more. And if that's not going to happen, what we need is we need new leaders. We need new candidates. We need new MPs and presidents who do care about humanity. Because at the moment, these world leaders only care about the rich elite and themselves. They don't care about the working class people. They don't care about the children starving, the children dying, you know, people using food banks. They just care about themselves.
Asquith went on to say that what is needed is a global anti-Zionist movement that will change the oppressed state of the world today.
They are trying to turn us into a totalitarian state now. They are trying to totally control us. And if anyone disagrees with the government or their views, basically they're just going to try and say that you're extremist because they don't want people to fight back against this dictatorship regime that they are trying to enforce on us. To mobilize an anti-Zionist movement, we need to let as many people know as possible what Zionism is about and what Israel are doing, because there are still many people who don't actually know what is going on in Israel and what the Zionists are doing because of the world media and the fact that they control the world media and all the social media platforms. And, you know, we need alternative platforms, we need alternative media, and we need to get the message out there. And we need a new electoral system. We need good people to stand for election and parliament, because these are the people who control our country and ultimately the world. So if we have good people standing for election, independent parties, independent candidates who actually care about the world, that would be the best way forward to achieve this.
The UN Food Agency says famine is imminent in northern Gaza, where over 200,000 people are believed to be experiencing catastrophic hunger. The World Food Program and other UN agencies released a report earlier in the week that says a further escalation of the bombardment, now in its sixth month, could push nearly half of Gaza's population to the brink of starvation.
In northern Gaza, famine is imminent, starting from now till May of this year. So it's a very short window to act. There are about 1.1 million people in catastrophic level of hunger. There are about 854,000 people who are in emergency level of hunger. And then there are about 276,000 people who are in crisis level. So the situation is terrible all along. In the rest of the country, the situation is also really bad. And there is a risk of famine. And that warning goes till July 2024. If there is no cessation to the hostilities, if displacements continue, if we are not able to bring enough food and access people, the report says that there is a famine which could even happen in the rest of the country by July 24.
Let's get some thoughts on those developments within the moments we have left on this episode of Gaza Under Attack. Doctors Imran Ali Panjwani and Nahat Khanfar are still with us. Dr. Khanfar, I'll start with you. What do you make of the restoration of funding to UNRWA the UN agency, and we know how important the role it plays is, of course, in Gaza and beyond, by countries like Canada, Australia, and yet those other countries who are still, who are yet to unfreeze funding to the agency?
It's all about really the internal pressures, because they know whatever the decision they have taken against the UNRWA or the funding of UNRWA was baseless, and they are adopted just stupidly the Israeli narratives without really any kind of evidence. And it was really a big shame, especially they are promoting completely different principles and different different rules in to govern this world. But apparently, it seems to be some internal pressures were really mounting on them just to restore the fund given to the UNRWA. I think they tried to convince themselves that this time Israel is promoting something, promoting the truth, but apparently they discovered quite early, I must say, that Israel is just really promoting lies over lies over lies over lies, and this time is not really something different. So this is how I see it, especially that the American administration is trying as well to moderate their language towards what's happening in Gaza, to put more blame on Netanyahu specifically, seeing the head of the Democrat majority in the Senate saying or using a tough language against Netanyahu. I think it's all coming in that direction and that context.
All right, and of course Chuck Schumer, that Democratic majority leader. That takes us to the States, Dr. Panjwani, and countries that are yet to unfreeze funding. The U.S. was first to suspend funding. On the one hand, you have that Washington Post expose saying the U.S. has flooded arms into Israel, more than 100 separate military sales to apartheid Israel since the invasion of Gaza. And then at the same time, on the other hand, you hear the U.S. President, Joe Biden, saying we must get more aid into Gaza. There are no excuses. None. Here in the UK, arms licenses still to be suspended to Israel. What do you make of all of that?
I think, as I remember when we spoke last time, this is a very common way that when there is war or genocide, in order to achieve democratic aims, you send aid. In order to keep political face, you send aid. So on the one hand, you allow killing, but in a very utilitarian manner. You want to achieve your end despite the destruction. Okay, and if there is people dying, fine, and you try to alleviate that. So the way I look at it, this is no consistent moral principle. This is simply a matter of, well, if there's guilt, you hear the spokespeople of the U.S. presidency speaking that, oh, it's very gut-wrenching, for example, people are dying. Yeah. Well, okay, to satisfy their conscience, they will send aid. They will throw a bit of food there in the air. So yes,
some of which end up killing people because the parishes don't open.
Lack of moral consistency, alleviation of guilt, keeping political face. I don't think there's any genuine relief effort. If people really wanted, then it would be like, for example, Ukraine and people taking in Ukraine refugees. And
there are hundreds of trucks waiting to get in, laden with aid.
Yes, of course.
And the Israeli regime is preventing them from going in.
Of course.
All right. Thank you. Our time is definitely up. Our thanks to Dr. Imronali Panjwani and Dr. Nahat Khanfar, and to you for staying with us. Until next time, continue to keep Palestine in your hearts. Goodbye for now. Allah, 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 Allah.
چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
July 12, 1983. Place Hosseinia Jamaran, Tehran. Subject: Spiritual Purification and Focus on Spirituality. The ultimate perfection of human beings has been to know that they are helpless, to understand that they are incapable of worshipping Allah. Allah is above guilt, that you should glorify Him. You glorify Him. You endorse His infallibility in order to glorify Him. You endorse His infallibility. He glorifies the one that endorses His infallibility. This is how the mandatory prayers are and other worshipping. If it was not for the command of Allah and the need to obey His commands, I must say that the human being with that weak knowledge that he has would not dare to stand in worship of Allah. However, he has given the courage.
We seek refuge from Satan the cursed in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Well, on the subject of the Persian New Year, or what we call as Nowruz, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, transformation of hearts and souls must take place during Nowruz, and mankind are recommended to attempt to associate themselves with God the Almighty after disassociating from the material world. The wisdom and rationality must happen in real sense, as they could become capable of distinguishing between truth and corruption. Thank God, our nation has accomplished significant insightful and intellectual growth. I hope they could achieve the peak of insightful during this year Nowruz. Well, this viewpoint of Imam Rahmatullah Alayh is representative of his opinion about Nowruz. Well, Nowruz marks the beginning of new Persian solar year, which coincides with spring each year. The season of spring has been of great significance in Quran, as it presents the spring as an evidence of life and as well as the proof for the day of resurrection.
يا ربنا صل على طه النبي وآله
صلى الله عليه
صل
يا رسول الله
In the beginning of each year, Imam Rahmatullah Alayh also encouraged people from all walks of life to play a key role in reconstruction and progress of the country. The Islamic Revolution under the wise leadership of Imam revived divine values and genuine Islamic teachings at a sensitive juncture of the history, also changed balance of power in the region and boosted morale of oppressed nations across the globe. Imam Khomeini's role in honoring Nowruz and changing the way Iranian viewed this day has been influential. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi also highlighted the dive perspectives of the Nowruz and stressed that the souls must be transformed during the Nowruz and a deep spiritual transformation must take place. Imam rahmatullah alayhi stressed the combination of wisdom and rationality in order to gain desired spiritual change during these divine-oriented days. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi left several pieces of poetry which talk about the deep transformation among mankind during each spring season. According to Imam rahmatullah alayhi, civil liberties and freedom in the society were inaccessible unless human gained the spiritual freedoms. Thank you very much for being with us in this episode. And until another one, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
The Bustle of Life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure. IRIB English Radio.
The head of UNICEF, Catherine Russell, has talked about a staggering rate of child deaths in Gaza, not seen in any conflict in the world. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The French national broadcaster France 24, France 24, has covered this story and tells us more. In an interview with France 24, Catherine Russell, the executive director of the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, sounded the alarm about the plight of children in Gaza after more than 5 months of Israel's brutal war. The head of UNICEF said an estimate of 13,450 children killed in the Palestinian territories since 7th of October last year is probably on the low side. She noted that many more children are trapped in the rubble or are wounded and often separated from their families. Catherine Russell also discussed the incredibly dire situation regarding hunger in Gaza. According to a United Nations-backed food security assessment, half of Gaza's population is experiencing catastrophic hunger, with famine projected to hit northern Gaza any time between now and May without urgent intervention. This is very much a man-made problem, Russell told France 24. All of us in the international community have to do better here and make sure that we can get aid to these children in Gaza. She added, "We cannot have children starving to death in Gaza. That is not acceptable." Turkey's Anadolu news agency has also covered the same story. The staggering rate of child deaths in Gaza has not been seen in any other conflict in the world, according to UNICEF Executive Director Catherine Russell, speaking on Sunday, 17th of March. "I think these numbers that we're seeing out of Gaza are just staggering. We haven't seen that rate of death among children in almost any other conflict in the world. It's really shocking," Catherine Russell said during a television program. More than 13,000 children have been killed, thousands of others injured, trapped under rubble, or have lost their parents, Russell said, adding, "It's a horrifying situation." Catherine Russell added that the profound impact on children in Gaza stemming from the stress, grief, loss, and fear they experience is bound to have lasting effects on them and potentially on their own offspring as well. "We know now that children are dying from malnutrition in Gaza," she said. "I've seen a lot of children, unfortunately, in my job around the world who suffer from malnutrition. It's a shocking thing to see. Essentially, the body starts to consume itself because it has nothing else, and it's a painful, painful death for children." She added that even if therapeutic feeding can be provided to those in need, they often endure lifelong consequences, such as stunted growth, which also affects their cognitive abilities. "It's a lifelong challenge for these children if they survive," she said. Israel has waged a deadly military offensive on Gaza since 7th of October last year. More than 31,600 Palestinians, many of them women and children, have been killed in the enclave, and nearly 73,700 others have been injured amid mass destruction and shortage of basic necessities. The Israeli war on Gaza has pushed 85% of Gaza's population into internal displacement amid a crippling blockade of food, clean water, and medicine. Iran's Press TV has also covered the same story. UNICEF Regional Director for West Asia and North Africa has warned that more children in Gaza will die due to impending famine as the Israeli regime continues to impede aid operations in Gaza. Adel Khodr urged Israel to open all border crossings to allow aid into Gaza Strip, citing the Integrated Food Security Phase classification recent report warning of an imminent famine in Gaza. The Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, or IPC, findings on Gaza confirm what we have been warning about of impending famine for months now. The world's inaction is shocking as more children succumb to a slow death. All border crossings must open now to allow unfettered access to humanitarian aid for the population of Gaza, Adel Khodr wrote on social media post. The IPC, a group that includes the World Food Programme and the World Health Organization, warned that famine is imminent in northern Gaza Strip, with people suffering catastrophic levels of hunger. It said 1.1 million people, half of Gaza's population, are experiencing catastrophic food insecurity. According to the IPC, the Integrated Food Security Phase classification, virtually all households are skipping meals every day and adults are reducing their meals so that children can eat. In 2/3 of households in northern Gaza, the report said people went entire days and nights without eating at least 10 times in the last 30 days. In southern Gaza Strip, this applies to 1/3 of the households. In a statement published on Monday, the United States Agency for International Development USAID Administrator Samantha Power said the IPC report is a reality for the population of Gaza. Samantha Power added that there have been only two famine declarations in the 21st century, which marks a truly tragic milestone. The catastrophic levels of hunger and malnutrition described in the IPC report should be unimaginable in the current era. But for hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in Gaza, this is reality, Samantha Power said. Martin Griffiths, the United Nations top relief coordinator, said on X that the international community should hang its head in shame for failing to stop the famine in Gaza. We know that once a famine is declared, it is way too late. The head of UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, Philip Lazzarini, also expressed his disappointment as he was refused entry into Gaza, where he was scheduled to enhance the humanitarian response in the territory. This man-made starvation under our watch is a stain on our collective humanity, Philip Lazzarini wrote on a post on X. Meanwhile, the president of Iran, Said Ebrahim Raisi, has called for a serious practical step to stop the Israeli regime's ongoing attacks on war-torn Gaza. The Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi, was speaking during his New Year message to Asian countries celebrating Nowruz, the Iranian New Year. The Iranian president said Nowruz is a message of peace and peaceful coexistence and also a symbol of reconciliation. The Iranian president said this year, "We, the countries of the Nowruz Civilization Zone, are celebrating this auspicious occasion while the oppressed and powerful people of Gaza are facing the brutal attacks of the usurper Zionist regime and are also under a complete siege, being deprived of their access to basic healthcare and basic facilities and are in danger of starvation and famine." The Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi, said, "It is our humanitarian duty to use our capabilities to take serious practical steps to stop the attacks of the Zionist regime and send humanitarian aid to the oppressed people of Gaza." The Iranian president sent a message addressed to the leaders and peoples of the countries of the Nowruz Civilization Zone. In a separate New Year message addressed to the Iranian people, President Raisi hailed Gaza's resolute resistance against the brutal Israeli onslaught. He said the global powers use all their might to try to destroy the 2 million people of Gaza. Meanwhile, the Islamic resistance in Iraq has said its fighters have attacked Ben Gurion Airport twice in the past week using drones. In a statement on Wednesday, 20th of March, the Iraqi resistance confirmed its attack on the Israeli regime, which is currently waging a genocidal war on the people of Gaza. The fighters of the Islamic resistance in Iraq at dawn on Tuesday have targeted Ben Gurion Airport in the Zionist regime using drones. The resistance also affirmed its commitment to strike the enemy's stronghold as part of its second phase of operations in support of the Palestinians of Gaza. In response to the Israeli massacre of Palestinian civilians, the second phase of the resistance's operations has started, which include the enforcement of a blockade on Israeli maritime navigation in the Mediterranean Sea and putting Israeli ports out of service. The resistance also attacked the same airport on 12th of March using drones. The Islamic resistance in Iraq says it will continue its attacks on Israeli targets until Israel stops its genocidal war in Gaza.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Welcome to IRIB English Radio, where we explore the Islamic upbringing of children and teenagers, guided by the wisdom of the Quran and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Today, we are honored to have Sister Salma Khalfan, a distinguished Islamic researcher, with us to shed light on this important subject. Salaamu alaikum, Sister Salma. Thank you for joining us today.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for having me over.
Thank you so much for being here. So we had been talking about a very interesting question in the previous episode where somebody was asking, how they should go about with their life so as to not make the same mistakes as they've seen their elders making and, kind of wanting to build a better future for himself. And you gave some very important pointers. The starting pointers you gave was regarding himself as an individual. And towards the end, you mentioned that you want to discuss about how he should behave with others around him.
Yeah.
So maybe you can tell us more about that.
Yes, this is the second factor, that the individual as per himself and those around him, how he should be so as to feel that his life is fruitful. Avoid long idle meetings.
Uh-huh.
Know that even if you have a very best friend, one day in a week would be more than enough for 2 weeks.
Mm.
Not that every day you have to see him and you have to talk to him or her and you spend hours along wasting time. Just, that's something that would really waste his valuable time in doing other important things.
True.
Another aspect is that he should make sure that, his time is utilized in such a way that there should be a kind of a system of getting appointments, not that in a hard and fast way. Of course, we can get guests anytime, and we are encouraged in Islam to, give a lot of hospitality to the guests. But
he shouldn't make himself very flexible.
Exactly, so flexible that, any person can come anytime to visit him or pry in his life or something like that, whenever he wishes to. He should have, of course, a politeness to always invite people, like if they want to come to him. But he should, of course, know that there's every way to draw a line. Yeah, he should have his own timings, and he should also welcome guests, but not without appointments. So he should know, and even people should know that in Islam, in Quran also it says that you have to ask a person if you want to enter a house. Yeah,
definitely.
And if three times they don't, you go back with saying salam. So don't even feel bad. Salam is peace be on you. Think good about that person. So guests that keep on coming in life will be so many. Like guests is in any person, a friend, or thinking that he has time for him. Or of course, when a person needs help, he should be the first one to offer service to him.
Definitely.
Because this will make his life more productive. Then also speaking over telephones and your mobile phones. Over time, over so many trivial things. Sometimes a person wants to pass time only,
Yeah.
Like there's this thing of the youth have that, let's pass time. Just let it pass. Well, time is such an important factor in life that if we knew that, there will be boxes in the Day of Judgment, that each box will open, will be like one moment of your life, 1 hour of your life, what you did. One box will be empty.
Yeah. I think taking a break is fine, but like with the intention that, let's just, pass some time just like that. No, when you need that break, where you feel
of
like
course,
you need it.
Family, Sile Rahmi is good, but not that you pass so much time in the telephone and mobile phone that 2-3 hours just pass by. Because when you're doing something like advising some people or solving a problem over the telephone, that's a different matter altogether. But this is something that a person does for, just to pass time for his own, desire.
And honestly, I feel so impressed when people manage to do that. I feel like that's really hard. But some people really like doing it. Yeah, it's very surprising. Like, I'm managing to talk so long on the phone, and it's very interesting.
It's very interesting. It's very hard also, the way you say it. It's very hard.
So,
but people do that.
Yeah,
there's so many people who love being one telephone over the other.
Yeah.
After that, another telephone. After that, another telephone. And sometimes they're just joking away, laughing away, and that kills so much of their time. And in the end, they feel so empty,
Yeah.
What did they do? Mm-mm. Nothing.
True. So we'll just take a short break and pick up from here.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, where we were just discussing about how a person can manage to, you know, be sure that his future is
productive.
Yeah. And you said that, you know, don't overdo your meeting with people. Don't make yourself so flexible that anyone can feel they can come at any moment to, you know, talk to you and discuss with you. It's very good to do that at times, but you should have some boundaries. There should be some red lines, yeah, so that you, because you have a timetable of your life, you have to do things your own way as well. And, you know, spending time on social media is so easy to, like, time can go so fast when you're on social media. So, like you said, this how we behave around people in the world today, it's very easy to kind of lose track of time.
Yeah. And then another thing is also associating with aimless people. People who don't have any aims, they will also give you the color. You know, so whoever is, even Imam Ali, you know, says that don't associate with lazy people and stingy people.
Yeah.
Because you'll also get that, you know, inadvertently, whether you like it or not, there's some asar that will come. The effect will come on you. Yeah. So aimless persons know that don't associate too much with them. Always, you know, just be polite with them, and maybe you can even do something for them, feel sorry for them, and do teach them about how they are aimless and probably improving their lives.
Yeah.
And then the third factor that actually reduces the productivity of life is a set of factors that come about in one's life due to imtihan. But tests. Tests that could probably bring the quality of your life down. But that's not the case. One should know and have that ma'rifah, that understanding that,
in fact, that is what's going to pull them up.
Pull them up, exactly. Yeah. One is like illness.
Yeah.
Illness may be something that person feels that it's preventing him from doing the greater tasks, the good tasks of running around, doing this and that. But the way you said, it may be a reason to pull yourself very high.
True.
Done, you know, like done with sabr and shukr and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bear that patience, you know. And then, of course, accidents. Sometimes a person, like we see Janbaz, a person who has lost his, one of the, you know, important organs, yeah, in his body. For example, his legs, or he's become very ill in his lungs and he can't breathe properly, or he's in ICU, or he receives oxygen always, things like that. But how great they are that they are bearing it, and they are also doing shukr about it, the same way as illness is, but they know that they have done something productive to get this out of it, you know. They have done something very productive in their life, like they've taken part in those kind of incidents that have made them like this.
Yeah.
You know, so this is very important in your life. The trauma one faces and everything, one should not be disappointed. A person will have great good incidents also in life. But trauma will also be there, so that should not pull him down. It should, in fact, take him up.
Exactly. So we'll just take a quick break and pick up from this shortly.
Ya muqiya al-khayrat, ya muqiya al-khayrat.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, be like a friendly physician who applies medicine where it is useful.
يَا مُقِيَ الْخَيْرَاتِ يَا مُقِيَ الْخَيْرَاتِ يَا مُقِيَ الْخَيْرَاتِ.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, and we were just discussing how a person should behave with others around themselves, especially in terms of, you know,
when you want to deal with the society as a person. And you say that association with aimless people will kind of pull you down, you know, passing on their aimlessness to you especially. Yeah. And you say that in times of difficulties and in times of problems, that is in fact when you might be, you know, pulled up. Those are your tests that you have to go through. Yeah. So keeping that open-mindedness is very important.
Yeah. And so one should read the life histories of great and successful people also. This also helps for a person to lead his life successfully. Read the histories of great and successful people, and you'll learn how to make use of your time, how to build your life and future, and then you'll make your family and other people proud of you. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be proud of you. The thing most important than all is that you please Allah. That's the only thing, goal, that whatever you do, Allah should be first there in what you're doing. Allah should be the goal.
Yeah.
Please Allah and have His pleasure, and He will please you when you meet Him lonely, that is on the Day of Judgment, and He will grant you the eternal bliss. This is the actual right way, and apart from this way, there's only loss and there's only torment.
And I think when this youth asked this question, he probably had this in mind that, you know, how will I be able to make sure that I'm going to have a successful end? Because at times it's so difficult when you see people around you who you think were good, who you think were successful, and then when you see their end, you feel like, oh, is this how I'm going to become as well? I think this kind of fear is there in everybody. But when we have Islam telling us about all its beauties and all its, you know, like giving you the certainty that you're going to end in the right way.
Inshallah.
Yeah.
There's no certainty actually.
No, you're
always pray for that.
Yeah. That you're going, there is a good end.
But if you're moving towards the right direction,
it's how you reach there, how you decide to. Because definitely there is maybe a certain end. It's just that, will you follow it towards the end in the way that Allah wants you to?
So that persistence should be there.
Yeah, definitely.
That whenever you set your goals in your life, don't lose your way. Be persistent. The timetable should be to follow to the end of life. Like Allah has given us a timetable, a set of timetables, not only for today or tomorrow, it's for to the end of life, like the namaz, the prayer that we have, the fasting that we have, you know, all the principles that every year you have to take out khums. So it's like a timetable to follow, not that when you're old it's okay, you don't have to follow. Everything you have to follow, be persistent to the end of your life.
And be consistent.
And if you do that, if you, you know, do that with pleasure, then know that your success, your life will be successful.
True, very true. Inshallah, we get the tawfiq to, be persistent and consistent in our actions and our
with
deeds.
With ma'rifah.
Yeah, because I feel like that's what's going to help us move forward. Even if it means sometimes just reciting one page of Quran, but daily, is going to have so much of an impact in our lives. We might not know it, but definitely it does.
Yes.
Thank you very much. This was very insightful. And inshallah, this person who asked this question got some, you know, something out of this, inshallah. Thank you very much for joining us. And inshallah, we hope to see you in the next episode.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 31 meters, 9650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to RIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.